Well, we are back in 1 Peter chapter 3, where we left off last week. Last week we looked at one verse, verse 8. Now we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. And so this is God's holy word for our church this morning. So please give it your careful attention, both in the reading and its preaching. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So last week in verse 8, we looked at Peter's admonition how to treat one another as Christians in the body of Christ. And this week, we look at how to treat outsiders in the world, outside the body of Christ. And you can see from our passage the problem. Christians were being insulted and maligned and reviled for their faith. It was still a new religion back then. And so new religions were looked upon with suspect, especially this one. And so we know from church history that Christians were called cannibals because of how they talked about the Lord's Supper. It was taken wrong. That there was something cannibalistic about the Lord's Supper. They were called cultists. They were called atheists because they didn't believe in any of the Roman gods. And they were considered anti-Roman because they didn't simply fit into the society's values. Now, it made it more difficult because they also would refuse to offer incense to Caesar. And that's what you normally did when you got together for any type of activity. And so that would put them at odds. All the other religions would be willing to do this. Christianity, along with Judaism, would not. But the Jews were allowed to get away with it. Christians, because it was considered new, were looked upon with suspect. And so they were often maligned and insulted for their faith. Not yet persecuted in the sense of government persecution, but that was coming. But it hadn't come to Asia Minor quite yet. Now, in Roman culture, it was an honor and shame-based culture. And so there was nothing more important than defending your honor when you were insulted. So it was an honor-based culture. And if your honor was attacked, you were expected to defend yourself and retaliate. There's really nothing worse than being shamed in Roman culture. And so if you didn't do this, you were looked upon as weak and probably guilty of what you were being accused of. And so it was very part of the culture to constantly retaliate if your honor was attacked in any way. But not only was this cultural, it was natural. In other words, that's our instinct as fallen human beings. Somebody insults us, what is our first instinct? Insult back. Somebody hurts our character, we want to attack back. It's a very natural fallen instinct. That's the way we are wired as sinners. And so Peter says, the Christian way, Christ's way, is not the Roman way, and it's not even the natural instinctive way. The Christian way is countercultural, and it's even counterintuitive to our normal instincts. And so it is called the way of Christ. It is the way for Christians to respond. And notice how he begins in verse 9. Do not pay back evil with evil, nor insults with insults. Jesus never retaliated in the way that he was attacked. He was always insulted, but he never insulted back. He was always discredited but he allowed that to happen. Jesus taught us, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Now, to love your enemies is not an emotional love like we saw last week. In the church, it was love each other with brotherly affection. When it comes to enemies, it's not the same type of thing. It's not a deep brotherly love. It's the choice of how to respond to them. It's a determination not to seek their downfall or destruction. Peter says, even bless them. Now, what's the number one way you bless unbelievers who are trying to hurt you? You pray for their salvation, right? That's the way you bless them. You don't pray for their downfall. You don't respond, and they may want your downfall, but you don't want their downfall. You want their salvation. And so Peter says, like Jesus said, love your enemies is the Christian way. But notice how Peter does not leave it there. He makes it even more difficult when he adds, on the contrary, bless those who revile you. All right, now Peter's gone too far, right? Okay, I cannot retaliate, but even bless those who revile you? Talk about an unnatural instinct. It's the same thing as Jesus saying, do good to those who hate you. The point is, these people are under God's judgment already. And so if they're against Christians, they're against God. And so the response is to pray for their salvation. We have a phrase in even our modern language, we wouldn't want that on our worst to happen to our worst enemies. You know that phrase? That's the way we should think about all unbelievers. We wouldn't want God's judgment to fall on our worst enemies. And so we pray for their salvation. Again, this is not a natural response. Our natural response is to want to hurt those who hurt us. But Peter goes on to give a reason, because he knows this is difficult. To this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now there are two choices what to do with the this. What is the this that we're called to? Either we're called to a life of blessing those who hurt us, or we're called to obtain a blessing. It either refers to the phrase right before this or right after this. But whatever choice you make, both are actually true in the Bible. We have been called, we've been saved to be like Christ in character. So we've been called to a life of non-retaliation, of blessing and seeking the best of those who hurt us. On the other hand, we've also been called to receive an inheritance. Now, we do not work for an inheritance. An inheritance is given freely. You do not merit it. And so it's the call of the gospel, the call of grace. But we were enemies of God when he called us, right? We were God's enemies, and yet he had mercy on us. And so Peter is simply saying, the way God treated you when he called you and gave you an inheritance, even though you were his enemy, now have that mindset in this age toward others who hate you because you are a Christian. You didn't deserve God's kindness, and the people who are hurting you don't deserve your kindness either. But because you didn't deserve it, God gave it. Now be like God and pray for their salvation, and don't respond to destroy them. Peter then quotes a portion of Psalm 34, if you see in our text. Peter is saying, King David also affirmed this. He affirmed the life of non-retaliation. He calls it in Psalm 34 a life of blessing. Now, the historical situation you're familiar with, Saul had tried to kill David by throwing a spear at him. David fled. He was hiding first in Israel, but one of Saul's soldiers saw him, so he fled to the Philistines. When the king of the Philistines figured out who he was, he acted crazy, and the king let him go. David begins to look back and realize how God protected him through everything, and how he even reflected on his own sins in not trusting the Lord. And so he uses Psalm 34 to teach God's people how to trust the Lord with enemies. So David is saying to these Christians, as well as to us, I know what it's like to live in a hostile environment. You want to talk about enemies? I had enemies everywhere. The king of Israel, all his military, the Philistines. I was surrounded by people who sought my life. I had many opportunities to retaliate. And yet instead, I trusted the Lord. And the Lord provided. I did not have to kill King Saul, even when I had opportunities. Now, David learned this when he was a king later, didn't he? With Abigail. Abigail's foolish husband does not respect David and his calling to be the next king. And so Nabal insults David. And what is David's first instinct? Do you remember? Let's kill him. That natural instinct rose up. Let's harm him for the way he's insulted us. Abigail, his wife, meets him on the road and says, David, this is not God's way. God's way is trusting the Lord with your enemies and not taking personal vengeance. What does David do? David listens to Abigail and he relents. And what does God do? God takes care of Nabal himself. And so David recognizes this was the way of God. And so David in Psalm 34 is calling us to live this type of blessed life, he says. And it's a blessing because it ends in eternal life. But there's even blessing now as we learn to trust the Lord and not live always retaliating. There's a life of blessing in that even for us. And so David writes, the Christian way, the godly way, is to keep your tongue from lying and evil. That's in reference, of course, to enemies here. That is the blessed way of God. Listen to how Martin Luther spoke about this. Martin Luther wrote, as he himself says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. On the basis of this, St. Paul admonishes Christians in Romans, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. These words are not only instruction, but also great comfort. As if he were to say, do not take it upon yourself to avenge yourselves on one another or to speak curses. The person that does you harm or injury is interfering with the office of God. And he's sinning against God as gravely as he's sinning against you. Therefore, keep your fist to yourself. Leave it to God's wrath and punishing, for God will not let it go unavenged. And his punishment is more severe than anything you could mete out. This man has not really assailed you, but God himself, and has already fallen under God's wrath. He will not escape it, no one ever has. So why get angry with him when God's already angry? And when God's anger is greater than yours? Besides, he has not injured you one-tenth as much as he has injured God. So when you see him under that severe condemnation, why add to that your own curses and threats? Rather, take pity on his plight and pray for him to be rescued from it and to reform. Martin Luther is teaching the life of non-retaliation and prayer for our enemies as a Christian. Now, what helps is verse 12. When David reminds us, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. In other words, those who live and trust the Lord this way. The Lord is watching. He is against the wicked, but he is blessing you. He sees your predicament. He knows the difficulty. He knows what is being said about you. He knows how you're being treated. The face of the Lord is against them, but trust him. And if you live this way, show yourself a believer, not retaliating, insulting, using violence or hurt. You live in that blessing. You are one of God's children. Now, this ethic of non-retaliation is not new to David or Peter. It's really taught throughout the entire Bible. Let me just give you a few examples. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Even in the covenant community, you should not bear grudges. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord. He will take care of it. Matthew 5, of course, in the New Testament. Blessed are the peacemakers. 2 Timothy 2. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Notice even the way he speaks with enemies or those maligning Christianity are very gentle. And then Paul to Pastor Titus, we can expand this beyond pastors. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Remind the Christians to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Do you realize the Bible teaches this, to speak evil of no one? Then Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with, what? With everyone or all men. Now I realize how anti-American this is. When I say anti-American, I even mean anti-Christian American. We're Americans, and we think because of that we have the right to say anything we want about anyone we want. We don't like a political leader. We don't like a Hollywood actress. What do? We get on social media and we malign them. We insult them. We call them names. Idiots. Evil. Why do we do that? Well, we have a right to express whatever we want. That's what America's about. Well, beloved, it may be American, but that doesn't make it Christian. And our values are not from our culture, but from God and His Word. That type of life does not adorn the gospel. It actually brings the gospel into much disrepute. The Bible says, speak evil of no one, even those who hate Christianity. Trust the Lord with your enemies. Pray for them. Be a blessing to them. Now, this applies to you personally and as a church. Personally, it may be a relative who speaks evil of you. And your instinct is to destroy their reputation with all the other relatives, because that's what they do. The Bible is telling you, don't be part of that. Don't be sucked into that type of thing. It may be someone at work. It may even be someone at church. It may be in the way you write about politics, leaders you do not like, so you mock and denigrate them. Do you remember when Stephen in Acts 8 was being stoned by the Sanhedrin, what he called out to God? He called out to God and said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's how he responded to those who hated him and Christianity. Do you know the Lord heard that prayer? Because who was standing there? Saul was standing there, who became the Apostle Paul. With one person, that prayer was actually answered. That is the way we treat our enemies as Christians. Now, this takes incredible trust in God. You have to believe He's very active, protecting and providing. And it takes extreme faith in the gospel. We have to believe that we were enemies of God, and God treated us this way with kindness. And so this faith is a gift, and it's something you are to pray for. Lord, help me live this type of life. It does not come naturally to me. Give me trust in you to work these things out. But this is the life of blessing. It is the life of blessing for David. It was the life of blessing for Jesus. He exemplified it. Stephen, Paul, and Peter. Now, Peter is telling us this firsthand, right? Because remember what happened in the garden? What was Peter's instinct when the Romans came at Jesus? What did he do? He pulled out his sword and he cut off the soldier's ear. His first instinct was retaliate and fight. And what did Jesus tell him? Good job. No, he said, put away your sword. In this age, that's not the way. God will return in judgment of this world. But for now, this is not the ethic for you to retaliate. And so, beloved, hear the word of God from 1 Peter. Do not insult and attack when you've been insulted. Learn to trust the Lord. Learn to be kind to your enemies, especially unbelievers who criticize you for being a Christian. Sometimes your defense is not because you've personally been attacked, but because Christianity is being attacked. But that's still, we have to be careful how we respond to that, that we are gentle and kind with our enemies. This is God's ethic for his people. Now, this seems very weak in American eyes, and it will make you look weak. And the Lord is saying it's okay to look weak, because that is the life that God loves. That is what reminds him of his son. Remember, God will take care of all enemies in his time. But remember, finally, before we pray, that God could have retaliated for all your sins. You've done enough. You've done more to God than any enemy could ever do to you. And God didn't retaliate. He took pity on you. And he sent his son to bear all your sins on the cross. That is our ethic of why we respond in like kind to our enemies. This is what God did to us. Amen? Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage, and we do confess that it is not natural, even whether to our instinctive responses or our culture, even the culture we have adopted into the American church. So give us strength and grace to follow your word, to glorify you, to be like Christ. For we have no power in ourselves. We pray the Holy Spirit would help us, give us great trust in you, O Lord. And may we enjoy those blessings even now as we await those ultimate blessings at your return. We thank you that you were kind to us when we were your enemies in the gospel. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.